Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, November 12th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Miss Jo Wills. Miss Jo has been a member of Mountain Brook Baptist for a very long time, and she is active in many of the ministries, so I look forward to a time after she reads when she and I can sit down and talk about things of life and faith. Thank you, Miss Jo, for joining the podcast.
Thank you for having me read today. I am reading from a Bible that's very dear to me. It was given to Reed on his 60th birthday. It's the New American Standard Version. We're reading today from Acts 16, 16 through 40. And it happened as we were going to a place of prayer, a certain slave girl having the spirit of divination met us, who was bringing her masters much profit by fortune telling. Following after Paul and us, she kept crying out, saying, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God who are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And she continued doing this for many days. But Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And it came out at that very moment. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. And when they had brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing the city into confusion, being Jews, and they are proclaiming customs which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." And the crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrate tore their robes off them, and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there became a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that his prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them, and that very hour of the night, and washed their wounds, and immediately he was baptized, he and all his household. And he brought them into the house and set food before them and rejoiced greatly, having believed in God with his whole household. Now when the day came, the chief magistrate sent the policeman, saying, "Release these men." And the jailer reported these words to Paul, saying, "The chief magistrate has sent to release you. Now therefore come out and go in peace." But Paul said to them, "They have beaten us in public without trial, men who are Romans, and have thrown us into prison, and now they are sending us away secretly. No, indeed, but let them come themselves and bring us out." And the policemen reported these words to the chief magistrate, and they were afraid when they learned that they were Romans. And they came and appealed to them, and when they had brought them out, they kept begging them to leave the city. And they went out of the prison and entered the house of Lydia. And when they saw the brethren, they encouraged them and departed. Psalm 14. The fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." They are corrupt. They have committed abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there were any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Do all the workers of wickedness not know? Who eat up my people as they eat bread, and do not call upon the Lord? There they are in great dread, for God is with the righteous generation. You should put to shame the counsel of the afflicted, but the Lord in his refuge. Oh, that the salvation of Israel would come out of Zion. When the Lord restores his captive people, Jacob will rejoice, Israel will be glad. Now, Nehemiah 4:15-23. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us and that God had frustrated their plan. They all of us returned to the wall, each one to his work. And it came about from that day on that half of my servants carried on the work, while half of them held the spears, the shields, the bows, and the breastplates, and the captains were behind the whole house of Judah. Those who were rebuilding the wall and those who carried burdens took their load with one hand doing the work and the others holding a weapon. As for the builders, each wore his sword girded at his side as he built, while the trumpeters stood near. And I said to the nobles and the officers and the rest of the people, "The work is great and extensive, and we are separated on the wall, far from one another. At whatever place you hear the sound of the trumpet, rally to us there, for God will fight for us." So we carried on the work, with half of them holding spears, from dawn until the stars appeared. At that time I also said to the people, "Let each man with his servant spend the night within Jerusalem, so that they may be guards for us by night and laborers by day." So neither I, my brothers, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me, none of us removed our clothes. Each took his weapon, even to the water.
Thank you so much, Miss Jo, for joining the podcast today. I have so many questions for you, but first, would you just tell us a little bit about your family?
I have three boys. The oldest one is Ed, who you see around here all fooling with the sound system all the time, the great white-haired boy. And then there's Steve, who's a professor at Georgia College and University in Milledgeville, and Nash, who's a preacher boy down in Dothan. I have five grandchildren and three great-grands. The last one is Reed Wills, born to Ben Wills, who is Steve's oldest son. And we have rejoiced in his birth and the fact that they named him Reed. My other two great-grandbabies, Larkin and Lily, are part of Mountain Brook Baptist. As a matter of fact, I have the great joy of having Larkin in Sunday school this year, and even some of the other 4 and 5 year olds are now calling me Granny.
That is so funny and amazing, because Miss Jo, you have taught that Sunday school class for many years. How many years exactly, and how did you get into teaching the 4 year olds?
I started teaching 4 year olds with Hortense Bonds in 1970. Hortense was Dr. Nelson's church secretary, and when Hortense left to go to Montgomery, I just continued teaching 4 year olds and have been there ever since. And every now and then they add threes in, or sometimes they add fives in. Whoever needs a teacher, I'm always there. And this year I have 4s and 5s, which has been really wonderful, because some of them have been with me now 2 years.
Miss Jo, even as you talk, you have a wonderful brogue. Now, I'm thinking that means you're not from Birmingham. Tell me where you're from and how you got to Birmingham.
Well, Reed and I both were born in a little town of Washington, Georgia, which is between Athens and Augusta. And we came to Birmingham when Reed started Central Bank's trust department. Later, that didn't work out, and so he went to work for Exchange Security, which then became First Alabama, which then became Regions, and here we are.
We mentioned earlier that you teach the 4 year olds in Sunday school. We were talking offline about the story of Paul and Silas and how you teach that lesson. Tell us a little more.
Well, we are blessed to have a flannel graph that that goes along with our Bible stories. This is old school because I remember having flannel graph when I was a child. And the flannel graph shows Paul and Silas sitting with their feet in stocks, and they have the marks on them where they have been lashed by the rods. And above them is all the music notes as they are singing. And every time I read that story, I think of that flannel graph picture and think of what that means to the children, that even though that they were being persecuted, they were still praising God.
Amen. With Thanksgiving coming up, this is just a random question, but what is your favorite Thanksgiving side?
It's probably a English peas and asparagus casserole.
Never heard of that. How do you make that?
It's so easy because it's kind of like the green bean casserole. It's kind of a standard, and you just put mushroom soup with it and a little cheese on top, and you have it.
Sounds delicious. Speaking of Thanksgiving, Miss Jo is a part of an initiative that takes bags to Perry County to families every year. Tell us a little bit about that.
The Cooperative Baptist Fellowship made a 25-year commitment to the people of Perry County through sowing seeds of hope. And sowing seeds of hope, one of their Thanksgiving things is we fill bags with a Thanksgiving meal, and the churches come and the churches deliver them to the people. I have to tell you that my favorite story about doing these bags back for years, we have decorated the bags. We put Happy Thanksgiving, draw a turkey on it, put leaves on it, do something like that. So we decorate the bags to take down to Perry County. And so George Schofield, who's now a teenager, he was sitting as a four-year-old in my Sunday school class working on decorating his bag. He was drawing his hand as a turkey. I don't know whether y'all remember doing that or not, but he was working very hard on it. And I was explaining to him how we were going to fill these bags, and then they would be delivered to people all over Perry County. And I said, in each bag, I put a card that says, Jesus loves you. He looked up at me and he said, sneaking up on them, aren't you, Miss Jo? And I think about that when I go down there, that we are sneaking up on the people of Perry County to let them know that Jesus loves you.
May it be that they sense the love of Christ through these bags to provide Thanksgiving meals. If people want to give donations toward the food or money for these bags, how would they do so?
Well, we have a box here at the church. This year they have asked us to do macaroni and cheese and instant potatoes and cranberry sauce and a pie filling. So those are the duties that we have to bring. If you get to the store and can see one of those, I would love to have that. And a donation can be made. Debbie will be glad to just be sure and tell her that it's for Perry County, so we'll get it in the right bucket.
Wonderful. As we have been talking, I have sensed your great faith, but I want to hear the story of how you came to faith in Christ and maybe a little about your journey with Him.
When I made a profession of faith when I was very young because I was raised in such a wonderful Christian family. My granddaddy was the person who always had all the missionaries stay with him. And so I was blessed as a child to have all these missionaries from China. And this was in an age, you have to remember how old I am, that we did not see or hear this kind of thing always. But these missionaries would come into our lives and I would just sit in awe of them, you know. And as a child, I can remember the awe and wonder of meeting with someone who had been to China or had been to somewhere in the Orient or something, to Europe and acted as missionaries. And immediately I thought I wanted to be one of those people too. But that didn't work out too well. But I did make a commitment of myself to Christ and to as Dr. Nelson used to say, I gave all that I knew about myself to all that I knew about God. But then as a teenager, I really did make a further commitment of my life. And things, you know, it's funny how things happen to you as you grow in Christ. I remember a backpacking trip where a bunch of us sat down and talked about the wonders of God. And we made a commitment then to be thankful for what we have in our church and how we could all get together as a bunch of kids and go hiking in the woods and and have a Bible study, you know. And it was just such a good time, you know, that I think it helps you grow.
Well, you may not have been a missionary in the traditional sense, but I know that our church sees you as one who leads out in our missions program. You're a part of the missions committee, and you have led out in many ways, especially with Builders for Christ. And also, you've been on a lot of youth trips along the way. So tell me a memory that you have from Builders for Christ.
I started out doing duck work at Builders for Christ. Probably was not too good at it. And one year, Susie Bergens, she said she was the chief cook. And she said, Joe, would you help me next year? And I said, oh, I'd be glad to. I'll do anything I can. And so at the end of that week, after we'd cooked all week, she turned to me and she says, you know why I asked you to help me? And I said, no. She said, because next year it's yours. And that was the way I became to be the cook at Builders for Christ. I tell the girls that I don't really cook. I just go to the grocery store.
You mentioned earlier about Mr. Reed, and as many of us know, Mr. Reed went on to be with the Lord in May of 2017. And after his death, you and I were in a grief share ministry program together where we learned and processed together about grief in light of our Christian faith. One of the things we talked about was surviving the holidays without our loved ones. So I'm wondering if you and your family have a tradition where you incorporate the memory of Mr. Reed during the Thanksgiving season.
It's kind of, you know, we all sing. And so as we gather around on Thanksgiving, when we go around and talk about each one of us, about our blessings that have happened to us during the year. But after that, we sing the Irish blessing that says, when the road rises to meet you, which I know y'all have heard a million times, but at the end of it, it says, until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. And that's the way we feel as we sing, because it was Reed's favorite, and he loved for us to sing that. I have one more thing I have to tell you. I do teach a 2 and 3 year old choir. And you wonder, well, what in the world do you teach a 2 and 3 year old choir anyway? I have found over the years that songs are one of the best ways for children to keep in their mind and in their heart the love of Jesus. This last fall, when we were starting towards Christmas time, I started telling the Christmas story every week. I've already started, you know. But in my first question to them is, do you know why we celebrate giving gifts and Christmas? And nobody knew. But last week, May says, it's Jesus' birthday, Miss Jo.
Thank you so much, Miss Jo, for ministering to the children, for ministering to all of us at church, and also to those in Perry County and beyond, wherever Builders for Christ goes. Thank you for showing us what it means to live missionally. As we close the podcast today, would you end our time together with prayer?
Yes. Dear Lord, we thank you for all our blessings. We thank you for our church. We thank you for all the children that we can minister to in this church. Help us to be thankful for our blessings each day. And may we show your love through our actions each day. We ask these things in thy name. Amen.